Andrew Womack Ministries presents this session from the 2017 Healing is Here Conference. We pray that the Word of God will come alive in your heart as you listen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is so great to see all of you here. We are so excited to be a part of what God is doing here in Woodland Park as well as around the world. We recognize that many of you have paid a lot of money to be here.
Yeah.
You've booked flights, you've booked hotels, and you know what? The faith is in the coming.
Amen.
You've already put action to what you believe, and you said in your heart, if I can just get here to Woodland Park, if I can just get to where people believe God, where people believe that healing has not passed away, but healing is here. And I want to tell you, Carly wants to tell you, we all want to tell you, you have come to the right place.
Amen. You know, I heard that people are already receiving the healing.
I have heard the same thing. We found out that people who were driving onto the property were already beginning to receive their healing.
Amen.
People who were standing in line have already begun to receive their healing. In fact, we got a report from somebody named Alan.
Yeah, is Alan right? In here? Do you want to come?
Where's Alan? Is Alan here?
Is this you, Alan? Come on up here.
Are you Alan?
Let's get a microphone for Alan.
Come on, Alan. Tell us what happened.
Get a microphone for Alan.
Awesome. Healing is not there. Say it with me. Healing is here.
Great.
Why is healing here? Because Jesus is here.
How are you,
Amen?
Alan?
We're living awesome. In a new covenant with better promises. And here's what I want to say to you before Alan shares. Why not today? Why not today? Alan, what happened to you?
Amen. Tell us about it. What happened?
First of all, I'm just kind of lucky I'm here. My wife's been coming for 3 or 4 years and I always bomb out on her, and I about did the same thing last night, but because my back has been so bad on me, and I use that as an excuse. And
you use a bad back as an excuse not to come to a healing conference.
Yeah, that's real smart.
But, well, I'm glad you're here now.
So I walked from the lower parking lot with my wife and almost fell twice because my back hurts so bad, shooting pains down my legs, nerve damage, and we got into the building, and I seen all these prayer partners up here and came and talked to my new best friend, Gordon, and I walked away from there not only no pain, severe arthritis in my hands. And
come on.
Show us your hands now. You couldn't do that before?
No.
Praise Jesus, right? Amen? So how's your back feeling?
I feel great.
Can you bend?
You want me to do a backflip?
That's up to you.
No, I feel. Last year I got what's that called? Bell's palsy.
Mm-hmm.
That feels better now. They told me that was never going to get healed.
You look good.
They told me it was never going to get healed.
Amen. It's already started.
Yeah.
It's going through your body. That's the power of God right there.
Power of God.
Amen.
A few years ago, heart disease, got stents. A few years ago, cancer.
And look at you today. This is what a healed man looks like.
Yeah.
Amen.
I feel 30 years younger than I did when I walked in that door. And I
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Alan. Oh, my goodness. What a start to a conference. Now, run down them steps for me. Look at that. No problem. No problem.
Isn't that awesome? Now listen, here's the deal. God is no respecter of persons. In fact, look at, if you would put on the screen for us, Acts 3:5. Because here's what Carly and I want to just start off with. Our time this morning is going to go so fast. We already know that.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to just trust the Holy Ghost to be able to give and for you to receive exactly what you need today. And look at this. Acts 3:5, the apostles were in the public square. And it says, so the man that they were ministering to gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them.
Mm.
Now, you know from the story, if you know this story, that he was actually a beggar who was wanting to receive some money. Look at the next verse, Acts 3:6. So Peter then said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, come on. But what I do have,
and give to you.
Now, here's the deal. If you don't know what you have, you can't give it to somebody else.
That's right.
You got to know what you have in order to be able to give it to someone else. And here's the good news, guys. This healing ministry is not about Andrew and Jamie. It's not about Daniel and Carly. It's not about the speakers who you're going to be hearing this week. It is for you. You are the one that is anointed. You are the one that has been called by God to be able to give what you have freely received.
Amen.
And what have you freely received? You have freely received a finished work.
Amen.
Amen. We're not waiting for God to heal us. He has already accomplished that healing grace 2,000 years ago. So look at this. He says, such as I do have, I'm going to keep it to myself. Is that what he said? No. Such as I do have, what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he says something really bold, rise up and walk. Amen. Come on. Some of you this week need to hear this because some of you are going to rise up and walk.
Amen.
Some of you have been bound. Some of you have been crippled. Some of you have been distressed. And I'm telling you, why not now?
Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord woke me up at 1:30 in the morning. I had been able to get back to sleep again. But I just kept found myself keep praying in tongues in my sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm praying in tongues in the sleep. And the Lord is showing me all of the different healings and miracles that we're going to see throughout the week. Oh. And I tell you, in the end, there was too many of them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I just feel like this is the word the Lord gave me, a great expectation.
Yes.
We need to have great expectation. And as Daniel said, there is faith in the coming.
Yeah.
And he gave me this scripture. So if you've got your Bibles, and why wouldn't you come with a Bible, by the way? Right? Come on now.
Yeah.
We're going to use our Bible a lot this week because he sent his word and healed them. Amen? Yeah. He sent his word and healed them. So this is in Acts 2. And let's start in verse 23. It says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. They're talking about Jesus here. In verse 24, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it.
Yeah.
You know, the reason that Jesus rose from the dead, it was because the grave did not have the power to hold him in it.
Right.
Think about that for a minute, right? The grave does not have the power to keep you bound, to keep you in the grave, right? To keep you dead. What could be more terminal than death? The fact that you're still sitting here, you're still alive and breathing. Amen? You may have been sick for a long time. You could have been sick for years. You could have been born sick and never been well. But if the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us, and the grave didn't have enough power to hold Jesus in the grave, it doesn't have enough power to keep us sick.
No.
Amen?
No.
So come with great expectation. Amen? You do not have to leave here the same way you came in.
Amen.
Just like Alan is proof.
Amen. We've got that same resurrection power living on the inside of us.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. We're not waiting for it to show up someday and hoping and praying and wishing. No, we've got that same power. And you know what? The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God. Amen?
Amen?
You've got that power on the inside of you today. So say with me, greater is he.
Greater is he.
That's in me.
It's in me.
Than he that's in the world.
Than he that's in the world.
Greater is he.
Greater is he.
That's not outside of me.
It's not outside of me.
Greater is he.
Greater is he.
That's in me.
It's in me.
Who is that? Christ in us is the hope of glory.
Amen.
We're not waiting for God to do something that he has already done in Christ.
Amen.
So this is why we're so excited, Carly. Amen. Every year when we gather for this event, there is such an anticipation. There's such an excitement. And we just want you to know that on behalf of Andrew and Jamie and all of our staff, I'm telling you what, this conference takes a small army to pull off,
it
as
does.
You can probably imagine.
Hundreds of people.
And Carly and I just want to say thank you to all of our staff, all of our faculty, everybody who's been involved in any kind of way. Amen. Because frankly, we are just really excited about you having an encounter with the Spirit of God this week. You receiving what God has freely come to give us.
Amen.
It's our day.
It's our day.
It's our time.
And, you know, we are anticipating lots of signs and wonders. So let's just preface this a little bit. Usually, if How many of you are here for the first time? I didn't see your hands. You've never been to Healing Is Here.
Wow.
Okay, wow. That is pretty awesome.
That is
awesome. So every year at Healing Is Here, we have a collection through the week of crutches and walkers and hearing aids and glasses and, you know, anything else that you won't need anymore after you're healed, right? So breathing machines, yeah. Obviously, don't give them to us if it doesn't belong to you.
Right.
Okay? We've had to have some people reclaim them at the end. Yeah. So, you know, because they had to hand them back in, right? But you're welcome to bring them up when you don't need them anymore and just leave them on the edges of the stage here on these little platforms. And if you do need to take them back, you can take them back at the end of the week. But we will leave them there and it will become a testimony to the power of God working in our bodies. Amen?
Amen.
That's
One of our favorite things is seeing what happens among you as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, as you begin to really internalize this message that you already have it, you're going to start laying hands on people as you're waiting in food lines.
Yeah.
You're going to be going to the parking lot and somebody's going to say, would you pray with me? And I'm telling you, get ready. Miracles, signs and wonders, healings, restorations are going to be happening like popcorn in a popcorn maker.
Yeah, like that. Like that. It's just going to break loose.
It's going to break loose. And it's going to be awesome. So how many say today, I'm ready? Yeah, come on, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Praise God.
Should I tell them about this now?
Yeah.
Is that good?
That.
All right.
Yeah.
So we've got these praise report sheets, and we're going to have these on the corner of our stages as well, and our prayer ministers will have these. And these are big blank space in the middle, and that's for you guys to fill in, okay? So you do your writing in there. We want to hear when you receive something at this event, okay? So whatever it is, it could be a physical healing, could be an emotional healing, whatever it is, whatever kind of breakthrough you have, we want you to take one of these. We're going to have them available. If you can't find them for some reason, you can just ask any one of our prayer ministers or ushers, and they'll find one for you. And you just complete that, and then you can turn it in to a prayer minister or an usher, and they'll make sure that they come back to us. And then in the evenings, we're going to read out testimonies. Amen. We're going to let everyone know what God has been doing in your life.
Yeah.
So this is for you to write your testimony down. And there's a scripture on the top of this, and it says it's Revelation 12:11, and it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
In other words, by what Jesus has done for us and by what we're prepared to say about what Jesus has done for us.
Right.
Right? By the word of your testimony. Because when we receive healing and we start to write it down and we start to share it with other people, somehow it makes it real.
Yeah.
Have you ever received something from the Lord and then gone away and thought about it and overthought it afterwards?
Yes.
And somehow, I don't know whether it's the devil or your flesh, but kind of creeps in there and you start to doubt things, right? When you write it down, it's like you are making a testament.
Yeah.
You are making a memorial. And it's much harder for us to forget the details or water it down somehow or lose it. I hate that phrase, but you know what I mean, okay? Yeah. So this is really a really powerful exercise. So I would encourage you, be expectant, get yourself a blank one from the start of the conference and, you know, be ready. Why not, right?
Amen.
There you go.
Guys, if you would put on the screen for us 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, I want to just highlight this verse for a moment. Mm. Because, you know, wherever you are in your healing journey, wherever you are in your process, I just want to encourage you this morning that the Lord is for you.
Amen.
Amen. The bottom line for all of this conference is you are going to discover this week in a fresh way how much God loves you. How loved you truly are. And look at this. It says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. All mm-hmm. things are yours. Now, if you would go back to verse 20, 1 Corinthians 3:20. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Now, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians, my bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Lord does know the thoughts of the wise. And how
that's a good scripture too.
That's a good scripture too, because so many people think that they're so smart that healing has passed away. Amen? That they are the wise ones. They're the enlightened ones. They're the ones who are telling us today that it's no longer there, right? But 2 Corinthians 3:20 or 1:20 says, man, I'm going to find
where it. Where are eventually. We going? Do you need some help?
I'm going to find it eventually.
It's in the Bible.
It's somewhere in the
Bible. You need a word of knowledge to find this.
Somewhere between concordance and maps, it says.
Have some water. I hear it's really
good
stuff.
Thank you. I will.
And so it begins.
1:20. Man, oh man, that was a... All the promises of God in who?
Him.
In Him. In Christ. All the promises of God. Not just a few, pick and choose. No, all the promises, but listen, aren't just yes and amen. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. To the glory of God through us. So you need to know that God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Every promise that God has made has not passed away. It's not for a previous generation. His word is alive and powerful, and it's working in you. The gospel is the power of God. The word of God is powerful. So many times we begin to get a perspective to where maybe you've been walking with this illness or this disease. Maybe you've been living in this kind of way for a while now, and your identity has been, I'm so-and-so, the sick person. But God is saying to you this week, no, that is not who you are. Maybe that's where you've come from, but your past is not going to define your future.
Amen.
Amen. Every promise in Christ is yes and amen. And God says, everything that needed to be done has been done, and it's been done on your behalf so that you, like 1 John says, 3 John 2 rather says, that he would that we would prosper and be in health. How?
Even
as our soul prospers. Amen? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but what does God do? He comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Why? So that we can be miserable, live sick, try to manage our sickness and disease. No, he said, I want you to live quality lives to the glory of God.
Amen.
Every promise is yes and amen.
Amen, for everyone.
Yeah.
There's no losers in there.
Right. And many people who think they are wise in their own eyes are telling us that these things have passed away. Well, you can't tell us that. We're seeing it on a regular basis.
You can't tell Alan that.
No. How do you deal with the Alans of life when someone's saying it passed away? There's people who say salvation doesn't matter anymore. Too late. Amen? Listen, you can't talk somebody's talk. You can't walk their walk. And there's no chance you're going to dance their dance, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
And when you know that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what?
The word of your
The word of your testimony, you're going to have a hard time not talking about this.
Amen.
Not living it, not telling somebody else, not giving somebody else what has been freely given to you.
Amen. You're going to be wrecked this week.
I'm sorry.
It's too late. You're now one of those fanatics.
Yes, you are.
Everyone's going to know, right?
Yeah.
You went to that healing conference in Woodland Park, right? Where we tried to squeeze all these people into this little bitty building.
Yes.
Right? And then you're going to go out of here and they're going to be like, oh, you're the ones. You're the ones that were hanging out at that conference. You're the ones that have been with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
You're the ones where signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. You're the ones, right? You're those people that set the captives free. You're those people that go and heal the brokenhearted.
Come
amen.
On.
You're the ones now.
Yep.
That's you. Amen.
That's
You've been labeled as a fanatic for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
The secret's out.
Amen. Somebody told me, Carly, a long time ago, someone who is a fanatic is just somebody that loves Jesus more than you.
Right.
I like that. So what does Jesus say about us? He says we're able ministers.
Right.
Do you see yourself that way? Or do you see us that way? Or Andrew that way? Or Pastor Greg that way? Or some of the people that you're going to hear from this week? You know, Jesus wants to give you a new perspective. He said to the disciples, don't say there's yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. I want you to lift up your eyes. I want you to get a new perspective. I want you to begin to get a new identity as to who you really are and who God says you are. Come on, somebody. Who God says you are is an able minister.
Amen.
So tell somebody sitting next to you, you are an able minister no matter what you look like.
Amen. Amen. There is a great, there's a great scripture here. They're all so friendly. Look.
I know, I love it.
Right?
Wait till Friday.
Oh my goodness. They'll be deadly. The streets of Manitou Springs haven't seen what's coming to them yet.
Oh, I know that.
Oh my goodness. Watch out, you street ministry people.
It's awesome.
All them people that are going out on the street ministry training this afternoon and going out tomorrow, they better watch out, right?
You know what we've discovered? You can stay sick if you really, really want to.
It's hard here.
But it really is hard.
You got to be committed in this conference to stay sick.
Right?
You really got to be committed to it.
And we want you well. God wants you well. Why would you not want you well?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's read this. Let's read the scripture here in 2 Corinthians 3, and this is 4 to 6. It says, "And we have such trust through Christ towards God that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Here's the thing. Sometimes we can look at ourselves and think, "I don't feel like a very able minister.
Yeah.
I don't feel very sufficient."
Right.
But they'll look at Daniel and they think, "Oh, Daniel, now he's got it together."
I don't think they feel that.
No, I don't know this morning. I don't know.
Why? 1 Corinthians, whatever that was. I mean, I think we're kind of
You've blown. Okay, they look at me and they think, I've got it all together, right? But here's the thing. Our sufficiency as ministers is not of ourselves.
Right.
It's that Jesus lives on the inside of us. And I want to shatter the illusion for you this week that you can't pray for the sick, or that you can't hear God's voice, or that you can't prophesy, or that you can't operate in spiritual gifts, or that you can't raise the dead, or that you can't preach the word, amen? Because all of these things, he says, we are sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, because not because of our sufficiency, but because of the one who lives on the inside of us.
Right, or how about this one, Carly? How about if somebody is dealing with some kind of symptom in their body, they're believing God to be out of their body, does that disqualify them to pray for somebody else?
Absolutely not.
Somebody else.
Absolutely not. Because, you know, when we understand that it's Jesus that's the healer and not us, it doesn't matter what's going on in our physical flesh. I went on a mission trip one time with, we had a blind student, and I watched a blind student praying for a blind guy, and they both get healed.
Wow.
Right? Amen? That's the power of God.
That's the power of God.
There's only one reason, really, why people do not step out in the area of ministry, and that's fear.
Yeah.
That could be fear in their flesh. You know, they're just terrified. Maybe they have no experience of praying for anyone. Maybe they just, you know, feel like they're inadequate in some way. Yeah. Or maybe they've just been spending too much time listening to the wrong messages.
Yeah.
Listening to the little word in their ear that says, "You can't do it. You're not sufficient." You know what? That would be true if our sufficiency was of ourselves.
Right.
But we're not of ourselves. Amen? It's Jesus that's the healer, and his power flows through us and sets people free. And as he does that, there's plenty of power left over for us.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah. Matthew says, with men, things are impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. See? And that's who we have living on the inside of us. We often think we're waiting for him to do something, but the truth is, he's really waiting for us.
Right.
He's waiting for us to activate what we already have been given in Christ. Mm-hmm. And he says, "You're an able minister." Now, I got to tell you something. Even in full-time ministry, we do not always feel like able ministers.
Right.
We walk through the very same thing regardless of what your vocation or your career is. You know, whether you're a businessman, whether you're whatever it is you are, the Bible says you are an able minister. Mm-hmm. And it's not based on our feelings. It's not based on our performance. But again, it's his grace. This is why this is so amazing, because when you begin to really connect the dots with how the sufficiency that is on the inside of us is from God, man, a boldness begins to rise up on the inside that says, "Okay, Lord God, thank you that you are the Lord God of heaven and earth. Thank you that there's nothing impossible with you. Thank you, Lord." And you begin to just, man, I mean, as Andrew says, you start getting stronger than horseradish. I remember one day I was sitting next to an international student when Andrew said that at one of our gospel truth rallies, and that person went, "What's that?
Horseradish?"
Horseradish. They had no idea, but whatever it was strong.
I know, maybe we should spoon it out.
Yeah, give it a little taste.
Give it a little tasting.
No, and what it does is it begins to change your perspective. Mm-hmm. It changes your mindset. And as your perspective begins to change, you realize that there's more. Mm. There's more. Say with me this morning, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
God wants to do more.
God wants to do more.
He says, I'm the God of exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to some kind of power somewhere out there.
His power. Amen.
Amen. Woo, I'm getting happy, and I was already happy when I started. The power of God that's on the inside of us is so much greater than any one of us can imagine.
Amen.
But God wants us to imagine. He wants us to think about it, to meditate on it, to begin to see ourselves as He sees us. And honestly, I remember the first time I ever laid hands on someone to receive healing. I was so nervous. I was just like, what if this doesn't work? What if I lay my hands on them and they fall over dead? I had great faith. Do you know that everybody has a first time?
Yep.
You may not have done this 100 times, but you know what? Why not today?
Amen.
Why not today?
Amen.
God's love will help you overcome that fear. Mm-hmm. As you begin to meditate in the Word of God, that truth is going to set you free. And why not today? Just step out and begin to lay your hands, begin to speak the word, and watch what happens. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow those who believe.
Right.
If you're a believer, you are qualified to be laying hands on the sick.
Amen. That's the good news. It doesn't matter if you've been born again 2 minutes.
No.
You have Jesus, the healer, living on the inside of you.
You're right.
Put your hand up and you got Jesus, the healer, living on the inside of
Come
you.
Come on.
Right? That's why you look down and say, hello, Jesus. Right? Some people are doing it. Look, he's right in there. Amen? He's there on the inside of you, in your spirit. He never leaves us or forsakes us.
Ever.
He's contained on the inside of us forever. It's too late. He's already in there, right? So you're like walking Jesus is everywhere you go. The power of God goes with you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask, and I need you to be honest, okay? This stays in these rooms, all right?
Okay.
No one else outside is really watching. Don't worry about them, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want you to put your hand up if you've never prayed for someone to receive healing before. You got to be brave, all right? Come on, I see those hands. Put them up high. We want to see where you are. Look, they're being brave. Give them a round of applause, please. Put your hand up so everyone can see where you are, okay? There's several people in there. Like Daniel was saying, there's always a first time.
Yeah, why not today?
Amen, why not today? Sometimes the reason we don't step out for God is because we've got that fear on the inside of us.
Sure.
You know, I've come to realize that I place a lot of value on Jesus. I take him real seriously, but I don't take myself very seriously at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if you've watched me and Daniel teach for very long, you know we like to have a laugh. We like to have a joke. We love humor. Amen.
Yeah.
It's like a medicine, right?
Yeah.
Laughter is good like a medicine. But you know, we need to get away from taking ourselves so seriously.
Yeah.
Because when we do that, we make ourselves vulnerable and okay with being a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when we take the word of God and start recognizing who it is that lives on the inside of us, it propels us. You know, faith is a verb. We've got a whole teaching section on faith. But faith is a verb. When we really take our relationship with the Lord seriously and we start to recognize the power that lives on the inside of us, mm-hmm. just like Daniel was saying, we can't help but give it out.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will we see a life change in our own life, we'll see the power of God operating in areas around us as well. We'll start to take this power outside of the four walls of the church. And it'll move us outside of our comfort zones.
Yes, it will.
It'll cause us to do crazy, wild things for Jesus. Amen? Right? It'll cause us to step out. And Jesus all along is going, come on, you can do it. Yes. You can do it. Right? But we have to agree this week that we are not going to let fear stop us.
Right.
Amen? We have prayer ministers. They all have T-shirts on, actually. You wave at us, prayer ministers, so we can see where you are. All right? I'm believing these prayer ministers won't be needed by the end of the week, okay? Because these guys and girls, they're catalysts for the power of God. They're here to help you receive from the Lord in your life this week.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, there's going to become a challenge coming, right? Because once you receive, like it says in Matthew, freely you have received, freely give.
Yeah.
Amen? So can we commit this week? We're going to receive and we're going to give. Amen. We're going to step out together and we're going to do things that make us feel uncomfortable. We're going to be bold. If we're going to hear the Lord and if we feel a prompting, we're going to offer to pray for people. You're going to all become prayer ministers.
Yeah.
Are you up for that? Right? Some people are more excited about it than others. Right? But there has to be a first time for some of it. You know, this boldness comes from our relationship, drawing from the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, no one has died being a prayer minister for us yet.
No.
Okay? If you fell down dead, we'd raise you from the dead. You'll be fine. Right. Okay? Fear isn't going to kill you. You'll be just fine.
Yeah. I remember being on the road with Carly and our team one time, and we were dealing with a situation, and as she often does, and I do with her as well, just throwing in a little humor. But she says to me, "Listen, don't make me mad. If I have to take you out, I may or may not raise you from the dead." Man, now that's when you know you got somebody who knows what they got on the inside. Amen? But I want to share a verse out of 1 Corinthians, and it is this time.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Chapter 2 and verse 4. Look at this. The Apostle Paul here is talking to a group of people, and he says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." Verse 5, "So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Mm. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants us today to really just lift our perspective, lift our eyes to see what is possible. With God, nothing's impossible. Mm. And so as we begin to put emphasis on this in our hearts and in our lives, in our thoughts today, I want us just to really encourage our own hearts in the Lord that we're not going to be resting in the wisdom of men or in the human element of who we are, but we're going to rest in the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We are going to rest in the fact that God has already done what needed to be done in Christ, and he says that power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, is what dwells on the inside of you, inside of me. So why would we not freely give what's been freely given? And here's the deal, guys. The more you practice this presence, is the way I like to say it, practicing the presence of God, I mean, just giving it out, amen?
Doctors practice, right?
Yeah, doctors practice all the time, right? They practice medicine.
Yeah.
So we can just practice the presence of God and allow that life that is filled with power, filled with grace, filled with the love of God to do what it does.
Amen.
And the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Amen. And here's the thing. We aren't responsible for the results.
Right.
This was like just mind-blowing.
Me too.
Right, for me, right? Right. One of the reasons I didn't want to pray for people and step out my comfort zone was like, what if it doesn't work?
Right.
What if I'm embarrassed? Right. What if they drop down dead?
Right?
What if they reject me? Oh my goodness. What if they reject it? What if they're mean to me?
Yeah.
What if nothing happens? You know, we are not responsible for the results. When the Lord spoke that to me, I was like, wow, man, that just takes all the pressure off us, doesn't it? It's Jesus that's the healer. It's his name that's on the line. It's not your reputation you've got to worry about, right? You know, God is not up in heaven thinking, oh my goodness, don't promise him that. I'm not sure I can deliver.
That's a tough one.
I mean, seriously, you know, sometimes I think, you know, we get it in our minds. Well, we can't pray for the whole shebang because, you know, the lights in heaven could dim.
Right.
Right. I don't know if there's that much power. Well, you know, let me see.
Yeah.
Right. You know, no, we can be bold with the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen. We can be bold with the power that dwells on the inside of us because God is not there in the background shaking in his boots, wondering if he can make it work this one more time.
Yeah.
Right. The results are not up to us. Our job as believers is to believe.
Yeah.
That's deep, isn't it? Believers believe.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's our job. Our job is simply to believe the word of God and to put them in action, to act on the word of God.
Right.
So, you know, when we're called to go lay hands on the sick and they recover, we go and lay hands on the sick and their recovering is not down to us.
Yeah.
When we're not responsible for the results, I mean, put it this way. If you prayed a prayer of salvation with somebody and they received salvation, would you take the credit for it? No. So why is it any different with healing then? When we pray for the sick, if they get healed, would you take the credit? No. So then why do you take the credit if you don't see anything happen? That's just our human nature, isn't it? When we move away from being obsessed with the results, we'll see the power of God flow through us.
Right.
Because the responsibility is on him. It's not on us. We're just the vessels for the power of God to flow through. Let's look at this scripture. This is in Philemon verse 6. It says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus.
Love that.
In other words, as we start to focus on every good thing that Jesus has put on the inside of us, suddenly our faith becomes effective.
Yeah.
Who here wants effective faith? That should be everyone, right? Well, if you want a formula, there it is. Your faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that you've got on the inside of you.
That's right.
When we start, like Daniel was saying, as we start to dwell on the power of God that lives in us, mm-hmm. on everything that we've got good going on in our life, in all of the spiritual gifts that we have at our disposal, in the armor of God that we've been equipped with, the promises of God, the fact that he says that we shall not die but live and declare the goodness of God in the land of the living, that we are above the circumstances and not beneath. Nathan, that we are blessed coming in and blessed going out, that everything we touch prospers, that our faith can move mountains, that life and death are in the power of our tongue. Amen? Man, you could just start to preach yourself happy.
I know.
Right?
Right?
When you start to recognize the things that you've got going on in the inside of you, your faith becomes effective.
Yeah.
And faith is how we access the promises of God.
You know, one of the things I love, Carly, about that is that God does everything he does through relationship, doesn't mm-hmm. he? You know, years ago, I remember when I was in a very traditional church, we were taught to go door to door, house to house, knocking on doors.
That's painful.
And it was so scary. Oh, my goodness.
I got saved that way.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had a pastor come knock on my door. I was a heathen.
You got right? saved knocking on somebody's door?
No.
Oh, you were on the other side of the door.
That wouldn't work real well.
Yeah, I know.
If you send unsaved people out door knocking, that's probably why it's not working.
No. Okay.
No. But there you go.
Wow.
And so it begins.
So going door to door, a total stranger, had no idea. I'm knocking on the door and I'm like, oh, Jesus, please let them not be home.
You were really committed.
Thank you for answering my prayer of great faith. You know what? If you're not that person that can do that, what about your spouse if you're married? Could you start there? Maybe your kids. Somebody gets sick and maybe you could start there with a relationship that you already have. If you don't have anybody that you're in relationship with, somebody that I know actually started with one of their pets.
Did they get saved?
No, they didn't get saved. But here's what happened.
It's a whole nother theological debate.
I believe it was actually a fish. And the fish got healed. You want to tell us about
it? Oh, it's me. Oh, what a perfect setup. One of the things you need to know about Daniel is he always seeks to embarrass me at every opportunity.
Yeah.
But your wife is here, and I have ammunition.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. I have Tracy. She's
and
gonna...
here next week, Carly and I are headed over to the UK, and I said, you know, I'm really sort of dealing with fear of payback.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
to
be taking notes.
We get over to the UK, and my accent will start to be made
fun. Oh, I'm so looking forward to speaking English.
Oh, my goodness. Right?
And don't be trying any of them hand signals because they do not work over there. I'm just saying. Okay. They give you all kinds of trouble. No. So the goldfish. Anyway, moving on. Gosh, keep on track. The goldfish, right? This, you know, you just got to start somewhere, right? If you don't know how things work, you just got to start somewhere. Let me tell you, you don't have to have your theology all in the right place before you can minister to somebody.
Right.
Right? Little children can get this. In fact, I love ministering with little kids because they just simply believe. They don't have to deal with unbelief.
No.
Right? They just believe anything you tell them as parents. It's wonderful, right? You teach them that the grass is blue and the sky is green. They're going to believe you when they're itty bitty, right? Don't teach them that because that's a lie. That's not right, okay? But, you know, they just naturally get it and they're quite happy to demonstrate, quite happy to play and to practice. Well, this goldfish was like my playground, okay? We had a goldfish and we had three toddlers really close together. Then we got television. Okay, three children under three.
Thank God for the television.
My goodness. Anyway, we had three children, and we had a goldfish in a tank, and it was like, you know, the orange color. And I didn't realize, but slowly over the weeks, it started to swim a little slower. and slower and slower and slower. It just stopped swimming eventually and, you know, kind of flopped on its side. And it, you know, went to be with Jesus. And so my two-year-old was real sad about this. And then he confessed that he had been feeding it orange juice. Because it was orange. And so bless him, he had an overdose of vitamin C, I think, and ceased to be. And he sat there in the tank. And, I was a busy mom with three little babies, and cleaning out the fish tank was one of those jobs that I really didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so it started to go green. It started to fester. And eventually, this thing smelled really nasty, and it was sitting in my kitchen, and I kept looking at it thinking, okay, it's now got to the point where decomposition has started to occur in the fish tank, and it's rotten. It's rancid. So I get the net, and the water is so murky, you can't really find the fish anymore. So I'm scooping, I know. So somebody knows, right? They've had a fish tank that. They're like, amen.
Yeah.
So I'm scooping around till I hit fish, okay? And I pick little fishy up, and I shake it. His name was Jim. And a little Jimbo with one eye there. And I flop him onto the counter, and he's, you know, one-eyed Jim, bless him. He had a rough start in life anyway. He just lay there, and suddenly it occurred to me, that why doesn't this faith this faith thing could work, right? I mean, why not?
Why not?
Why not? What have I got to lose? The fishy's dead. I mean, it's pretty terminal. I can't make it any worse, right?
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And I started thinking to myself, surely I have authority over fish, right? You got to start somewhere. I'm going to start with a fish.
Yeah.
So I was a nurse, okay, so CPR, all right? So I started to engage my natural knowledge there, and I got my little finger on the little fishy, and I'm, you know, I didn't quite get as far as mouth to mouth.
Thank you, Jesus.
That would have been grim.
Thank you, Lord.
So, you know, little Jim, do little compressions to the tune of staying alive, right? Nothing. Not even a flipper flipped, okay? And then it suddenly occurred to me, my words have power. I'm going to use my words. So I started commanding little Jim to come back to life in Jesus' name. And his little flipper started to flip. Just, I have fish-raising faith, people, okay? Amen, right? I have fish-raising faith. I started doing my little dance around the kitchen.
Come on.
I started speaking a little more, and little he's flipping around. And then I suddenly realized, he's alive! The fish lives! Hallelujah, praise Jesus, amen? And then I realized, now I've got to clean the tank. Anyway, that thing lived for another couple of years.
Yeah.
Right? I have fish-raising from the dead faith on the inside of me. Amen?
Amen. So you started where you were.
You got to start where you're at. You know, you don't know that necessarily the size of the power. I think we kind of got to start where we're at and start to exercise our faith in areas that, you know, maybe not real big areas to start with.
Yeah.
And things that we feel comfortable in. But now I know that I've got fish raising faith. I know that I've got people raising faith,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
So if you feel like you need to start somewhere and faith is something completely new to you, maybe you've heard some about healing, but you haven't real practiced it, you haven't really seen much happening through your hands, haven't seen the power of God operating through you in a real clear way, you know what? Just start where you are.
Yeah.
Amen? Just start where you are. I mean, I'm sure there's some fish in the pond we could find for you, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Don't go in there, though.
Well, that's right. And one of the things I love about that story is how that must have impacted your kids.
Right. I mean, you know, kids grow, you know, our kids are a bit weird anyway. They kind of grew up in faith.
Yeah.
You know, so to the world, they're a little bit odd.
Right.
I like him that way.
I think it's awesome. But what ministers to me so much as a grandpa is to know that the love of God was so present for your kids.
Amen.
You know, not just, you know, to the masses and to the, you know, from the platform, but God is interested in your details.
Amen. Everyday
He's
life.
Interested in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. He meets you where you are. See, he meets you where you are, and in that moment is where you can expect to see the supernatural.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's powerful.
The love of God becomes our motivation mm-hmm. for ministering to someone else. When we begin to realize how loved we are and how much God is for us, why would we not want to give that to somebody else?
Amen.
And I love this verse in 1 Samuel 16:7 that says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Mm-hmm. And that's why your heart matters. In fact, Proverbs 4:23 tells us to value our heart, to guard our heart, to take care of our heart by the Word and by the Spirit, because 100% of the issues of life flow through our heart. Mm-hmm. So God is saying to us, there's something about life that's so daily. He's going to meet us in our today. He's not going to try to get us to some place where we're not. Jesus already did that by coming to the earth. Amen. He met us so that we could live in a present tense with him from day to day. And one of the things I love so much about the love of God is that when we begin to realize that our hearts matter to God, 100% of the issues of life flow out of our heart. This is where health and healing really begin. In fact, guys, would you put up on the screen Proverbs 4:20? And let's just look at these verses here real quick. We'll touch on this again later, I believe. But my son, give attention to my words. Mm-hmm. You see, here's the deal. Not CNN, you know, not WebMD.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Give attention to what? Mm-hmm. My words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay? We're going to meditate in them. For my words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Look at verse 23. Therefore, keep your heart with all diligence. Value it. Tend it like a garden. For out of your heart are going to spring the issues of life. Listen, your heart really matters to the Lord. That's why his love is so incredible. Mm-hmm. His love brings transformation to us so that his word can set us free. We can begin to discover what we really have on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. And as we begin to allow our heart to be guarded by the word of God, by the Spirit of God. In fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that peace will guard your heart, even in the midst of a bad report. I just got a report yesterday from a friend that we're believing God for, that he got a report yesterday that his cancer has moved over into stage 4 cancer. Well, I don't, you know, I value him and I value that situation. But I want to tell you, as far as in the natural, it doesn't matter whether it's stage 2, 3, 4, stage 25. Here's the deal. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And the big C, Christ, trumps the little c, cancer.
Amen.
Amen. But what we have to do is guard our hearts to where we don't take that report into our heart and spend time considering those words, but rather we exalt the word of God in our hearts and begin to magnify what's already magnified right. above every name.
Right. And here's the thing, you know, sickness and disease is not from God. Amen. Can we agree with that? It's not from God. It's from the enemy.
Ever.
But what it does, because it's of the enemy, it has characteristics of the enemy.
Sure.
And by its very nature, sickness and disease is self-centered.
Right.
It's like an angry toddler, and a hangry toddler, right? It wants all your time, all your attention. Feed me, okay? You know, it wants to draw your attention away from God, looking at your pain, looking at your condition, looking at your feelings, drawing you away from the answer, which is Jesus, and onto what you can feel with your 5 senses.
Yeah.
And that's what sickness and disease is set, designed to do, to steal from your relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Because, you know, the enemy is cunning. And he knows that our relationship with the Lord is our source of all life. Amen? It's the source. He sent his word and healed them. It's in Galatians 5:6, it says, faith works through love.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be people in faith and power, don't we? But faith works through love.
Yeah.
So as we start to dig deep into our relationship with the Lord and get a revelation of how much God loves us, man, we'll start to see our faith naturally as a byproduct of that starting to become effective without even trying. Mm-hmm. We can't try to make our faith effective. Our faith becomes effective because we're plugged into the life source, into relationship with the healer.
Yeah.
You know, healing is a byproduct of our relationship with the healer.
Yeah.
But when we spend our time running around searching for the healing, we miss the healer.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it's so important. When we get back to keeping the main thing, in our life, but also how we relate to others. You know, we let our motivation be set by the love of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, you can do all these things, but if you have not love, you're just a clanging cymbal.
That's it.
The love of God, if the world would just get a revelation of the love of God, I'd say 100% of their problems would be fixed.
Yeah, and how are they going to get that revelation unless they see it operating through you and I?
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
They need to see the body of Christ being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We are the body of Christ. So when we lay hands on the sick, what are we doing? We're really expressing the love of God, the love of the Father that He has for humanity. He doesn't want those people sick. Man, I tell you what, when you walk into a store, you're shopping, you're out, you know, getting gas in the car, whatever it happens to be, and you see people who are obviously oppressed by the enemy, what happens in your heart? You know, isn't there something in you that just goes, man, I want to give you what I have?
Mm-hmm.
Are you open to receiving what I have? And you know, it's amazing as you become more and more bold in this. And trust me, let me just put a little PS here. The love of God poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost is who makes you bold.
That's right.
The love of God poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost is not timid. He's not afraid. The Holy Ghost is really bold.
Amen.
He's not rude, but he's bold. And what will happen on the inside of you is you'll start saying things that you're going to have to get your ears to come around to hear what actually just came out of your mouth. Amen? So as you say to someone who is lost, someone who's obviously in a lot of pain or in a distressed situation, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. Do you know probably 95% of the time that person will say yes?
Mm-hmm.
And we're so concerned about being rejected. See, but when we become more filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to be more focused on the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the love of God that the power of God is just like a river.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the abundance of our heart, rivers of life flow out when our motivation becomes the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to prove how powerful we are.
Right. And, you know, I think sometimes we can find ourselves in pride, actually. You know, and we check our motivation, but you know, when we go to pray for somebody, is it because we want to see them healed so somehow we get some sort of glory?
Right.
Or we get some sort of credit? Or are we being moved with compassion?
Yeah.
You know, there is 4 or 5 times in the New Testament it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And in each of those occurrences, miracles followed.
Yeah. Every
you see,
time.
Here's the thing. When we have compassion, when we should have love on the inside of us, so great. Compassion is different. It's a love that compels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love that actually moves us to action. When we are motivated by love and compassion, it'll move us into situations where God is leading us, into opportunities to minister to people.
Yeah.
You know, it says the love of God never fails.
Ever.
Not sometimes, but never fails.
Man.
When we treat people, and this is one thing we like to go through with our prayer team here, when we start to see people as individuals, when we're like, Lord, show me how you feel about this person.
Yeah.
Show me how you see them. It will change how we relate to others.
Yeah.
It will change even how we see ourselves. Lord, show me how you love me. Show me how you see me. How do you see me? What's your opinion of me, Lord?
Yeah.
Some of you need to start there. Because, you know, if you have not first received the love of God for yourself, it's very hard to give away something that you haven't fully grasped yourself.
Yeah, it's really good. God sees you as a victor.
Amen.
Not a victim.
That's powerful.
Right? He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as a winner. And sometimes in our hearts, when we're walking through, you know, challenges with family, challenges with our finances, challenges with physical symptoms, we often attach an identity to that,
mm-hmm.
that thing, that storm, that battle, whatever it is that we're walking through in that moment. But listen, again, when we understand that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
I've got power on the inside of me, even though I may not feel like I'm a powerful person, I've got the powerful person living on the inside. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Even in my weakness, what? His strength is made perfect.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. So the love of God becomes something that absolutely is greater than any other force in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy cannot prosper with a weapon formed against you. No weapon. Say with me this morning, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon. What does the love of God do? The love of God says, if I'm for you, come on, somebody. If I'm for you, who can be against you? What can be against you? What can triumph over the triumph of the cross?
Right.
What can cause you to identify as a victim for the rest of your life? No, we're saying no to yesterday. We're saying yes to today. And no longer are we going to live as a victim, but we're going to live as victors in the power of the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's good.
I told you it was going to go fast this morning.
You have 55 seconds.
And I think we're about out of time. Listen, guys, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us because, you know, even though Carly and I have taught this several times, it never gets old. We always teach it a little bit differently. And what happens is when you take the time like you have to submit yourself to the Word of God is inexhaustible. It's alive and it's powerful. And what's going to happen is God is going to begin to show you new things. He's going to begin to speak to your heart, new areas. And as he does that, write them down, take notes, because you're not going to remember them all. And later on, you're going to be able to go back and meditate in it. And it's going to be of great benefit to you.
Amen.
So let's do this. Let's take a break.
I think Ashley.
And Ashley, do you want to come explain
yep.
a little bit about
awesome.
The break? Let's welcome Ashley Terrades as he comes back to give us a scoop here.
We hope your heart has been quickened by hearing the Word of God through this message. It's the faithful support of people like you who make this ministry possible. We invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries. We maintain a website at awmi.net. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Until next time, we pray that you'll reach out by faith and receive everything that's yours through God's grace.